following is a remastered version of the Pulse Gamecast, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Pulse Gamecast, episode 14. I'm Griddle.
And I am Jason.
Today's record date is February 18th. This is episode 14. It's 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Let's get into our intro stuff. Jay, what's been keeping you busy?
Well, school, really. Yeah. I've been in college, been laid up with some medical issues, didn't do a lot of gaming, done a lot of installing. All of our listeners should understand that. Basically, I reinstalled EQ1 and EQ2, which took forever and a day, but it was worth having because you mentioned it last week and got me all fired up to join you. So I went ahead and re-upped all my stuff there. And interestingly, we'll talk about what I did on EQ2 here in a little bit. And I reinstalled MechWarrior on my laptop because for some reason, everything was purple and orange and weird colors, so I had to do a reinstall. Yay! What about you?
I've been playing a little bit of The Secret World. I've been running around Transylvania. I've talked about it before. I absolutely hate Egypt in The Secret World, but I love Transylvania. I'm all about vampires and werewolves and all that anyway, so this is a really good zone. I'm enjoying it, having some fun with that. Here in Houston, and I believe I've said that before, I'm in Houston. We have a convention at Rice University every year called OwlCon because they're the Rice Owls. And it's a gaming convention, not sci-fi, fantasy, just straight up games, all kinds of games. And a buddy of mine is going to be running some Pathfinder. I don't know honestly if he's doing the Pathfinder Society or just a standalone event, so I went out and bought the core rulebook. Now I have the campaign setting that they put out years ago, but I went out and bought the behemoth that is the core rulebook. Let's see here, it's $50 normally, and it is, this is on the fly here of course, looks like about 570 pages of stuff. So it's a monster, but I'm really liking what they've done. They've made a few changes, of course, from the campaign setting that I have. But, you know, it helps also if you have Barnes & Noble member cards and emailed coupons and all this sort of thing that essentially cuts that price in half. So, you know, that helps.
Nice.
Also, today at lunch, I was checking Twitter and someone that I follow on Twitter, her name is @_laughter. She is a big gamer. She posts, she even has like a couple Twitter accounts that she posts under, but she tweeted this website that has just kind of started called GoDanky. They just out of the blue said, hey, we have 40,000 WildStar weekend beta keys. First come, first serve.
And you came.
twice. And I got served. So, actually, as we speak, I am 18% on the download of the beta client, the closed beta client. If you're hearing this, I imagine you've probably missed out, and those keys are probably long gone. But, Jay, if you're interested, that's pretty much about all I've been doing this week, gaming-wise. Not much really of anything other than that. just real quick before we move on, we are going to talk about EQ2, but you said you installed EQ1. Have you played it since you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
I installed EQ1. I got back on, oh, God. I used to be on Furiona V, I think it was. Uh-huh. Did that get absorbed into Bertoxilus, I believe?
Is
it still its own?
I think it's its own.
Okay, well, I played it on Bertoxilus, where my oldest character was. Mm-hmm. That was back. I played for so long that, remember back when they instituted the "you can't make fun of our game" name rules. My character was originally called the Fizzler, D-A-F-I-Z-Z-L-E-R for anybody who wants to try to find me, because all I would do all day long was fizzle spells.
Right.
So, and there's a funny story attached to that, because I went to a wedding later of all my friends, and it was the first time we'd all met in real life. And I was standing there, and the maid of honor looks at me and says, "Who are you?" And I said, "I'm Jason." And she said, "No, who are you?" And I said, "Oh, I'm DeFizzler." And she introduced me to over 40 people as, "Hey, look, it's DeFizzler."
That's funny.
It is hilarious. But yes, it was fun medding for my power again, and watching the cackling skull go after things as I try to kite stuff up and down the dadgum Cayman shore right there near near the desert.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And getting beat up by the I can't remember, the Death Fist orcs, is that what they are?
Yeah, that's some of them.
Yeah, and I believe it or not, I'd forgotten that the last time that I died, I didn't go get my body. Even though I was a necro and I could have found my own body with the death, whatever, the death gazer. And I lost my equipment, man. I lost a tiara of shadows, which allowed me to give me invisibility. I was so upset when I logged back in. I was like, no!
You know, I've talked about on the past few episodes about trying to play it. Man, I just can't get past that. The tutorial and that first little entry that you have. Now, the problem is, way back long ago, and I think I've talked about this, when I first started playing EQ, I was actually on AOL. So that's what my original EQ account is registered on, is my email address on AOL. But I don't remember the password, and tech support wouldn't help me out, because there was no way that they could verify or that I could log into it to get the email. And so I lost 5 years of EQ stuff. And so I've had
call
to start.
Steve Case, man.
Yeah.
Just hook dial me up.
Hook me up. But, you know, like we talked about on the last episode, I'm really hoping with the Station Pass that I'll be able to, of course, subscribe 15 a month and be able to jump on a legacy server. And not deal with any of that new escape from jail tutorial, you're in the caves, all that crap. I just want to flat out run out of the city and be staring at the open world.
Man, I hate that you lost that stuff. That breaks my heart.
You know, it was cool. It's what it was. I mean, I had stopped playing, of course, but it still would, like you, you're able to jump in there. The nostalgia must be thick and heavy, because you can look at your first character, and so I'm very jealous of that. I wish I was able to do that, but it is what it is. Gotta move on, I guess. Well, let's jump into news. Hearthstone, the World of Warcraft card game, announced just a couple days ago that they will have a spectator mode. I'm assuming that's when the game goes live. I don't believe it's active now. Have you played yet, Jay? On the open beta?
And I know you're gonna get onto me until I play that game, because I know it's supposed to be awesome, me being the Magic player and everything, but I have not played it, and I really should. I keep it off. I am so sorry.
It's just one of those. Like I said, it's fun for me. Like I said, when it hits a tablet format, it's going to be awesome. But to just kind of sit here at my PC and play. I'd much rather play an MMO, or, you know, load up Batman or something, one of the Arkham series, and not just play a card game. But it is fun. Just check it out. And
cool.
The spectator mode is obviously gearing up for a hardcore esports format. Now, they've already done that in an unofficial capacity at one of the BlizzCons. They didn't give away cash, but they did have a big tournament, so that's something pretty cool.
See, that's what's good. And that's got me. EQ2 has what's it called, Legends of Norrath? And they've had it for what? Gosh, 5 years now, almost 6 years?
Yeah.
At least. I know it's been at least 5 years that they've had Legends of Norrath. Why has that not gone to iOS or Android yet? And when they did put out something for Android, it was that cheesy crap EQ Worlds. Have you seen that?
Is that where you have to, like,
Yeah, you got to scan the SOE.
Yes.
The SOE logo, and if your phone doesn't support it, it won't scan. And then it's like really creepily invading your privacy by going into your Facebook and posting for you and all that other stuff.
Right.
So, like, I mean, you know, it's like American Gothic meets your iOS. I'm like, come on, stay out of my stuff, man. But I was really, really disappointed that Sony, being the big, you know, 900-pound gorilla, I mean, they're one of the few that can compete with, you know, Blizzard on this kind of scale. And they just dropped the ball whenever they could have had something so much more. Like exactly like you said, if they would have just said, hey, you know, we've got Legends of Norrath. It's not a bad game. People pay it. People actually buy the booster packs. It's a halfway decent game because they copied it in Star Wars. They had the exact same game in Star Wars Galaxies. They had the exact same game, I think, for, was it Pirates of the Burning Seas?
Yeah.
And I don't remember if they had implemented it for Matrix before Matrix died out. But every one of their major titles has had some type of collector's card game that went with it. And it's not like it would be some huge thing. They just won't spend the time doing it. And that just agitates the crap out of me. So yeah, I might play Hearthstone just to rub it in their face, you know?
Right.
Eat it, Sony.
Okay, we're going to move on in a second. As soon as my Firefox, where I have my show notes, decides to act like a proper... browser window and not freak out on me. Let's move on to Jay's bit of news about WoW's bump to 90.
Well, actually, I'm going to tack on to the news that you've been giving us about that, because, I mean, you'd already talked about this, right? Where we could auto-level 290. It was in the works, right?
Yeah, yeah. Just that it was in the works.
Yeah, exactly. So GameSpot, you know, naturally they're gonna dig and dig and dig, and God bless them for having people that can do that, because we don't quite get paid, you know, what we deserve to do this stuff, right? Do we? Oh, wait, do you get paid? Because I don't. Anyway, the point being is they dug in and got some test server screenshots that got released, and danged if it, according to them, is gonna run right at $60. Now that's not verified, but that's what was on the screen. $60 to auto level to 90. Now, not being the WoW player that you are, and I believe we might have been talking about this just quickly earlier, if you auto leveled to 90, let's just say that you did, how much money would you expect to spend, real life money, I tell you what, give it to me in gold, and then say I wanted to gear up if they didn't offer a gear option.
Yeah, now gear, you know, I mean, any MMO, you can spend as much as you want on gear. I mean, if you, let's say you just, boom, you're level 90, you can run to a vendor and buy crap gear, grays, for, you know, probably, I don't even know, 15, 20 gold. But if you want to be playable as a level 90, I could not even begin to tell you how much you're going to have to spend. I wouldn't be surprised if it's 300, 400, 500 gold. Just to be able to handle the damage, because level 90, you're finished with Pandaria, I guess, you're starting the Warlords of Draenor. Now, they're probably going to have a lot of loot, just like when you first get the Pandaria, everything drops awesome gear. But if you can't take down trash mobs, then you're worthless. So
time spent?
Yeah.
I mean, if you could say, but let's just say, I think you'd mentioned there's like an island of loot you can go to gear up your character, right?
Yeah, the loot island that everyone calls it. I actually don't even know what the proper name of it is, but... treasure chests everywhere, and every treasure chest has an epic, a purple gear in it. But there again, that's one of those places where you have to at least be able to deal with the mobs, because they're pretty big, kind of bossish mobs. I was talking to Dion Soul, who's a staff member here at Holosweep, and he said, you know, the kind of the average health on those guys are in the neighborhood of 1.2, 1.5 million hit points.
Wow.
Now, you know, if you haven't jumped in WoW lately, I mean, you're dealing out some ungodly, unnatural, why can't they balance this game?
Yeah, I heard they needed to scale it back just to make it feasible.
It's crazy. I mean, jump on anything, YouTube or Reddit or anything, and you'll see, like, Warlocks DPSing for, 980k. That's their DPS.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, dude. It's disgusting. It's so unbalanced, but... you know, like Jay and I were talking before the show, okay, you shell out your $60, boom, you have a level 90 warrior. Maybe you have gear, maybe you don't. Well, don't forget, in WoW, just because you're the level, you have to buy those flight abilities. So you have to, you know, that's probably going to be 10, 15K in gold right there just to be able to fly in Outlands and fly in the vanilla areas and fly in Pandaria. Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Whatever, man.
So let's convert it real fast. I'm just going to throw a number out there. Let's say to get all the gold that you need, let's say it takes a few hours to get it. You said it kind of flows quick in Pandaria. And
yeah,
again, this is all speculation at this point. People could probably do better hard numbers. But let's just say you can get a couple hundred per hour.
Mm-hmm.
And average person plays 4 hours to,
right,
let's just say 2 to 4 hours. You're talking at least a week to 2 weeks minimum to get what you need to get all your flight paths, right?
Right.
And then you got to spend, hopefully you find some friends and they'll twink you on Loot Island, right?
Right.
And cover you while you dig, yeah, through the purples.
Exactly.
So that's another couple of 2-3 nights, you know, getting gear of everything that you need. So let's just say if you're paying a subscription-based fee, which we know they're not giving it away,
right,
you auto-level to 90 for $60, then you pay at least $19.95, you know, or 14. What is it? This
it's 14? 15. Yeah.
So 15. So now you've paid $75 just to get up there and get geared up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's pretty good. Now, but now here's where I'm going to throw down, and I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just saying what I know about. EQ2, like I said this week, and I mentioned earlier that I was going to talk about it, I put it back on my computer because I wasn't going to put the EQ1 client on there and not put EQ2 on there since my accounts are linked. I used to have one of those, you know, Sony passes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had it all. So my accounts are linked and I put it on there and I logged in and they said, hey, you know, you've got all this station cash left over. Did you want to use it? And I was like, crap, I've still got station cash. What is that all about? And apparently I had bought like a Walmart card or a station cash card, and I'd waited till a holiday whenever it counted double or triple, and I'd cashed it in, and it was just sitting there. So I was like, okay. And since I couldn't use it, that used to be you could use it to buy expansions. Well, you can't do that anymore. They'll only take money for expansions. So I had all this extra station cash. I was like, well, I'll go ahead and level up, because they offered it to you. They said 3K cash and we'll level you to 85, give you the gear, give you the all the spells up to at least adept level or better. And I was like, well, you know, I've been playing this game for quite a while. Not seriously ever, but been playing for a while.
So right.
I had a Necro at like 50. I leveled him up to 85. And then I had a Beast Lord that was sitting at like 15 because I just tried the Beast Lord class. I leveled that up to 85. Hmm. That's at current exchange rates, which is 500 SC. Now, this is not if you do doubles or anything, you know, double,
sure,
points. 500 SC for $5. So 3,000. Is $30, right?
Mm-hmm.
So basically, I spent $60 to level 2 characters all the way up with everything, and you get a winged Pegasus mount. So,
yeah,
you know, you don't pay for the flight paths, obviously.
Right.
And but now I understand where they're coming from. They're trying to get everybody into the Vishan. Here's a Vishan so that you can go play in the open areas and then you'll buy the expansion.
Right.
So they want you to be in their epic in-game, you know, area, and they're basically gearing you, supposedly, but I haven't seen the gear yet because, like I said, I didn't get to do much. I was mewling on the ground like a little kitten crawling around. But I'm going to do that either tonight or tomorrow because I have tomorrow off, and somewhere in between failing one of my courses, I'll actually boot up this computer. And I'm going to, by next, I'm going to make a prediction here. By next time that we talk next week, I'm going to tell you the difference between playing a level 40 and a level 85 and what they gave me to tell you whether or not it's worth paying the money that we're paying to auto level these characters.
There you go. And I'm downloading WildStar. I may go ahead and re-download EQ2 since you're playing.
Don't do it, man. Run.
I'm probably not going to auto, you know, bump the tune, but, you know, if you have a lobby, we'll do something.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I still got plenty. Don't worry.
Okay. I mean, EQ is one of those worlds that I hate. I mean, I did the bump to 80 or 85 that they gave you, the freebie we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I hated it. I really did. It was cool. You got the flying mount, the Pegasus. I had a ton of abilities and spells. That was cool. But for me, I just feel like I'm missing out on so much
content. Yeah.
Yeah, content-wise, and especially EQ, which has always had an awesome world.
Yeah,
very in-depth. Oh, they do. They flush it out awesomely. And that's why I want that legacy server for EQ1. I mean,
I'm with you on that. You know that's the reason I downloaded it, right?
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, oh my God, we talked about it, man. When I tried it out and I got to hear that skeleton cackle, I was like, the feels. Oh, the feels. Oh, it was great. It was good times.
What was that electric fun stuff? You remember that song, Rat Killer?
No.
You don't have that? Oh, dude. Okay, I'm going to send that to you. We'll send him whatever he needs to play on the show, and we'll edit that into our next cut. You've got to have that.
That's funny.
It's hilarious.
That's awesome. All right, let's move on to a little bit of EVE Online news. This was mentioned to me by Dion Soul, as I said, a staff member here at Holosuite. He used to be on the Beyond the Veil and I believe Tribble show. EVE Online, CCP, a Icelandic company, for those of you that don't know, making EVE Online, of course, a space sandbox game. They have announced this week that they will be building a monument in Reykjavik. It will be 5 meters tall, I think they said, which is like, what, 20 feet, 15
yep.
feet?
Okay.
Right at. What they're doing, this is to commemorate past and present EVE Online players. On March 1st, they're going to do a name capture of all current subscribers in EVE Online. Only current players. Your main character's name, I guess the name that your account is tied to, for me, it's actually Oerdith. Your name will be engraved on the monument, the 20-foot tall monument out in Reykjavik. It's also going to be kind of a time capsule, because inside of the monument, under, I'm assuming, thick plexiglass, they're going to have a laptop. The laptop is going to be showing pictures, in-game screenshots, well wishes from the staff and players and whatnot. Kind of, like I said, a time capsule of that moment in time for EVE Online players. There's also going to be a webcam application where you can log on and it will show you your engraved name on the monument if you are a current subscriber as of March 1st. The monument goes up, I believe, April 30th of this year. So that's really cool. I know one person It was Dion, I think. Was it Dion? Who did I say did that? Someone here at Holosuite signed up for a month just to get their name. It was Dion. He's resubscribed to EVE Online just to get his name, Dion Soul, on that monument. And I'm considering doing the same thing.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to have to do it.
It's like $10, I think, $9.99 for a month of EVE.
Yep.
And your name is immortalized as long as that stone or whatever material it's made out of stands. I think that's pretty cool. Now, one other thing that's really neat about it is CCP will, for free, they will be adding the names of all EVE Online players who have passed away. So those guys and gals will also be immortalized since they do not have the opportunity to currently subscribe. I think that's really badass. I think that's really
awesome.
That is very awesome. So many companies out there, you know, just like we talked about, $60 to do this or $20 to do that, $25 server transfers, and ultimately, what do you get? You get the fun, you get the enjoyment, but you know, if they decide to flip the switch and shut the place down, you lose out. Well,
yep.
Get your name on the monument that's probably going to be there for 500 years, you know. Get yourself a little bit of a immortalized in history. I think that's really cool.
That's wicked cool, dude. And they can do anything they want to because they can spell the word Reykjavik.
Oh, man, you should have seen how many times I was alt-tabbing out to the screen to when I was typing it up in the show notes. How many times I had to look at that. Moving on, Ken Levine. This came out today, and I am absolutely freaking heartbroken. Ken Levine, creator, writer of Bioshock, also System Shock, is shutting down Irrational Studios. dude, it's really crappy.
Yeah, it is.
So he's shutting it down. He announced it today. He's laying off all but 15 of his studio employees, of Irrational Studios employees. And he's moving, I believe it said, to a 2K office where he will continue to make games, but as he says, games of a more narrative nature. I don't know why. I mean, I understand, you know, a franchise can't go on forever, but I was kind of hoping to see more BioShock. Maybe, I know we have the two DLCs for BioShock Infinite. I was really hoping to see something else, but, you know, March 25th, Burial at Sea Episode 2 for BioShock Infinite comes out, and I guess that'll be it. But he's a, you know, he's an awesome writer. He was also involved recently with Thief, I think, that just came out. So that's really cool. I mean, well, good for him, whatever. But if you're, as I've said before, if you're a massive BioShock fan, this is truly a blow.
That's horrible, dude.
Yeah, it sucks. What are you going to do, I guess? All right, let's move on. Jay has some Xbox news for us.
Xbox One owners will now be able to hopefully get the fix in for that new black screening they've been getting. As of today, supposedly they're going to be putting out a dashboard update for the 2014. Xbox has had a real history of firmware updates, online firmware updates. They've had them good, they've had them bad, but right now they're hoping, because this is a new thing and it's not affecting everyone, the black screen issue will be fixed by the newest update. And they've also said that we can really kind of expect another update on March the 4th, which is 7 days prior to Titanfall. So I'm guessing, you know, since Titanfall launches March the 11th, they want to kind of iron everything out before Titanfall hits. Mm-hmm. Since it's not going to be an esports game, then it's not going to be as critical, but they don't want this one to fail, considering it's a exclusive title other than PC, and they really want to hit this hard. So that's why they're, you know, let's fix the black screen, let's fix everything, memory issues, file issues. There's quite a few fixes in this dashboard update. I'm going to go ahead and put the link in here so that people can take a look. But by now, you should probably be used to this if you've got an Xbox One or even the Xbox 360.
So when is the black screen popping up? What's actually causing it, or when does it happen?
Yeah, apparently it's on reboot after the update and the last update. So that's one of the things, is it wasn't everybody who was getting it. I don't know if this is, and they haven't been super forthcoming with this. There's a lot of different, you know, I hate to say this, but the Xbox community versus the PS4 community, it's more of like forums versus trolls, you know. And I'm not being ugly to the Xbox people, because you guys have been shelling out money from day one, and God bless you for doing it. Mm. But in the end, what it comes out being is they tend to, Xbox, Microsoft in particular, tends to give out less information and fix more, to where PS4 admits more culpability and fixes less. I don't know, you know, what's worse there. But truthfully speaking, they don't have to push out as many error issues on PS4. And I say that with all seriousness, you know, even though we've recently had the bricked PS4s coming out after Christmas, you had to wait to have it fixed, but they knew what the problem was immediately, you know, versus Xbox One owners having random issues with the glass feature, and random issues with now with the black screen feature, and we're not even going to go into the old Xbox 360 with the red ring. We're going to leave that completely out of the discussion.
But
just with the newer systems, what you're seeing is more intermittent problems that they tell you less about, versus a more widespread problem that they tell you more about, but there's nothing they can really do, you know. So like I said, hopefully this will fix everything, and then like I said, expect one more if you own that Xbox One. Even if you didn't buy Titanfall, there's going to be one more fix on March the 4th and before Titanfall launches, so just be prepared. And if you don't want to do it, turn it off, for God's sake, turn it off.
Also, I forgot to put it in the show notes, but Titanfall, if you registered for the beta of Titanfall, and they just announced this, I think, yesterday or the day before, they said, come one, come all. If you requested the, if you sign up for the beta, log on to your Origins account, and it's right there under your My Games. The beta invite is there, so jump in and go to town.
That would have been nice.
Yeah, I didn't register. I don't really have a lot of interest in Titanfall. Shooters are fun. I love shooters, but...
Well, I just like this shooter where they were jumping from building to building and then landing inside their Titan, and then their Titan would follow them.
Yeah, and, you know, that's what someone I saw described Titanfall as, a Call of Duty with robots and parkour. I thought that was kind of snarky, but funny.
All right, well, you know what? I'm just going to pick on Xbox One people for a little while. Xbox One, Forza 5, 1 million copies sold. That's one out of every three Xbox Ones sold to date. That's some target hitting right there. As far as I know, that's the best selling racing game ever at this point. That beat out pretty much everybody. So I guess we're gonna have to see how that rolls. But as far as I can tell, what we're looking at is, unless Gran Turismo 6 really, really sells out of the gate like crazy, then Forza 5 is going to be the 800-pound gorilla on the racing scene. Because, it was when it first came out. Remember Xbox, the original Xbox had Forza, the original Forza, and it was the only thing that had ever challenged Gran Turismo ever. And it was pretty beastly because they went out there and got a whole bunch of the muscle car licenses versus the Euro car and, I guess you want to call them street scene cars that were really, really just starting to make it. So I was really impressed. But I hope, you know, good luck to you. I love Forza. It's, you know, great game. And in that shot in the arm there, still picking on Xbox, for Titanfall players, and for people who want to play on PC, want to play Titanfall on PC, there's a new video card that's hit the market, the NVIDIA GTX 750 Ti. I think you can get it through EVGA also. And it's a super clock. Basically, it's using what is the M? Oh, God, I've already blown it. The old architecture is Kepler architecture for the GPU. The new architecture starts with an M, and as soon as I remember what that is, or my computer calls Maxwell, thank you. The Maxwell architecture is just supposed to blow the Kepler architecture out of water. From what I'm seeing at the price point that they're offering, $149, I think, for the 1 gig card. Or is that the two? Sorry, 2 gig card. $149 for the 2 gig card at overclocked. We're looking at, and this is where it really, really blew me away, 58 frames per second at 1080p with 2x anti-aliasing on Titanfall, which is better than the Xbox One, which Titanfall was pretty much geared for. So Titanfall was created for the Xbox One. Basically, I mean, you know, obviously it was meant for multiple architectures, but geared towards this particular Xbox, and already before it even leaves the gate, they've got a video card under $150 that allows you to play it on a PC at a better frame rate. So, ouch. That's all I've got to say. I bet they're pissed off at NVIDIA right now. Microsoft is like, okay, NVIDIA, I'm going to take you out back to the ConX. I appreciate that.
Right. That's right.
So I don't know if they really expected that. I'm going to go ahead and post some show notes where you can take a look at it. You can also take a look at it over on the NVIDIA site. The EVGA site also has it. But it's bumping heads with the new Radeon 7 265, I believe, which is in the same price range for $150. But I would actually remove my own eye sockets with a dull, rusty spoon and no anesthesia before I put a Radeon in my computer. And there's other people that are going to get their hackles up for me saying that. But buddy, I've been in the business 15 plus years, just, you know, building computers, and way more than that if you include back in the day when they didn't have GPUs separately. So you can say all you want to. NVIDIA is just my particular choice, and this is a really good economy card for entry level to medium level, and it's not a huge overheater. And you know, some people don't like overclockers, and I totally understand that, but for the price, you're getting a lot. So there you go.
I'm one of those people. I don't like overclockers. In all fairness, I've I've never owned one, but I just read some really bad stories, of course, about massive overheating and jacking up everything. But do you know if they have the 750 that's not overclocked? Like just
yes,
a non-TI?
You can. The problem is that to not overclock it, generally they cram more memory into it. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you know what the Titan is, right? Have you heard of the GTX Titan?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that's the other Maxwell chip that they're touting at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the new GTX Titan Black, and that's a full implementation of the Kepler chip, you know. And you're looking at 6 gigs of 384-bit GDDR5 with double precision math. And they're betting, because they haven't announced a price point for it yet, but they're betting that $1,000 is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
So at that point, I might go ahead and just buy the Xbox One.
Right.
You know.
Hmm.
I can afford a lot, but my wife would actually divorce me after having my body. So. But there you go. So, I mean, you know, and me and you, we definitely agree on a lot of things. Sometimes we disagree on things. And truthfully speaking, I'm not disagreeing with you on the overclock. It's just that for the price point, it's weird how they charge less for the overclockers versus the let's run it under speed but add more memory. And I can understand you're adding hardware. You're even though you're not overclocking it, you're not depending on software to get the job done. You're allowing the hardware to do what it's supposed to. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to me, the price point's just there. And considering how many computers nowadays really stay cool enough to support it, and the fans, you know, if you're just going to use air displacement, can do it too. So I don't want to kick a dead horse. There you go.
All right. Tell us about Freedom's Cry.
Freedom's Cry released today. The PS3, PS4 standalone for Assassin's Creed 4. Now, originally... this is not the first time that it released. This is the second time it's released, but it's the first time it's released as a standalone. So if you had Assassin's Creed 4, you could buy Freedom's Cry and play it as an add-on, right? Today it released on the PlayStation Network, and it's $15, man. I mean, $15 for basically all the architecture of Assassin's Creed 4. Now, admittedly, it's a lot less time playable and a lot, you know, it's a condensed game. I don't want to call it, you know, I guess it's comparable to buying those small betas that you get to play, except it's not buggy. It's been tested.
Right.
But you don't get a whole lot of time, but I mean, it's just from what I'm hearing, it's way worth the $15. And I'm thinking about getting it myself, actually, because I can't get enough Assassin's Creed when it's done well. There's some bad implementations of it in the past, but I think this would be worth it. I highly suggest if you don't have Assassin's Creed 4 yet and you want to see would it be worth it and get a taste of it without, you know, paying, what, $39 at GameStop to get a used copy? Or is it still $49? It's still $49. $49 at GameStop. Then go ahead and pick up the $15. Check out the game engine, check out the you know, how good it is graphically, and see if it's worth it. And then, you know, you'll know whether or not to go back and buy Assassin's Creed 4 if you haven't already purchased it. Of course, I can't see people who haven't. Oh, and by the way, it'll be available on PC, same standalone, for $15 by February 25th.
Now, is this one, are you the female?
Yes.
Assassin? Okay.
Yeah, and there's a lot of... It's been said that this one's fairly bloody, and it detracts from the storyline with the machete killings and the aerial acrobatics. But that being said, you know, this may appeal to us, you know, certain demographics because of the storyline itself. But truthfully speaking, it's just a different spin on the Assassin's Creed tale itself. So,
okay,
there you go.
Cool. Cool deal. All right, that'll just about wrap us up for news, and we're going to move on to geeky stuff. My little bit of geeky stuff is that I don't remember honestly who exactly wrote this article originally, but it was posted on io9.com. It's the 24 most embarrassing Dungeons & Dragons character classes.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, we've talked about it a lot. Jay and I are big gamers, big tabletop gamers. So this was kind of funny. There were actually a lot of, I'm not going to say a lot, there were quite a few of these that I had no idea who they were. We'll have a link in the show notes. You can check these out. But just to kind of shotgun this for you, there is, of course, the beggar that you could play. You could play, what's another good one? The unicorn rider. That was from Elves of Evermeet, which I believe was second edition, and that was a Forgotten Realms. Now this one, I don't agree with this, and this one makes me mad, and I can't believe they put it in here, but it's the Dandy. Now the Dandy is from the Mask of the Red Death, a Ravenloft setting, and it was kind of a Gaslight setting. It was 1890s Earth. So the Dandy was, of course, your gentleman of fortune, tuxedo, sword cane, you know, kind of guy. So whatever, that wasn't an embarrassing class. I mean, you know, 1890s, of course you're going to have some kind of dandy type guy running around. He bankrolls the group. So whoever wrote this article, you're crazy.
What about 21, the pacifist?
Yeah, let's see here. The pacifist.
See, to me, true neutral characters.
Oh, that, the pacifist druid. Yep, you're. Yep, that's right. Yep, the pacifist druid.
I remember one gaming session. One of my guys said he had an arrow of was it true flight, where you fire it and you name what it has to hit. No, it's an arrow of seeking. That's what
seeking,
it was.
Seeking. Yeah.
Yeah. So he fires the arrow and he says, "Hit a true neutral character," and he fired it, and the DM said, "The arrow responds to you. Why bother?"
That's funny. Check this out. There's some kind of funny things in there. Some of them seem crappy, but they make sense. For instance, the Arctic Druid. Well, you know, I mean, if you're playing a cold weather-based campaign, then, of course, you're going to have druids up there. That reminds me of Dragonlance. You know, of course, the novel series and then the second edition setting. There was an entire module set where they were in Icewall, which is an Arctic setting. So, I don't know that that would necessarily be weird or whatever, but embarrassing. I mean, now if you're going to play an Arctic druid in the middle of the desert, well, then you're an idiot and you deserve to be made fun of.
What about the clown? Clowns
the clown,
are just creepy.
I know.
That should have been a Ravenloft right there.
Well, yeah, that, I mean, as a Harlequin, that would have been pretty good. And actually, there was a Ravenloft supplement called Carnival. And it was a traveling carnival that traveled through the realms of Ravenloft. And they had Harlequins in the circus, of course. And, you didn't want to mess with them, because they're all goofy tumblers and everything. But when it came down to it, they were just... they were horrible. They were, you know, honestly, picture the Warhammer 40K Harlequins.
What,
tumblers
like
with blade. Yeah, like the Eldar. The tumblers, sadistic, love blade work. They tumble around you and just nick you to death. And it's so, whatever.
Yeah, there's your fetishists.
Yeah, right. Another, the City of Gold supplement is where the fetishist and the clown came from. And I don't remember that one. But it sounds like a Forgotten Realms.
Yeah, it does, actually.
But just kind of a funny thing. You don't see a lot of D&D stuff out there popping up nowadays, but it is out there.
Oh, I beg to differ.
Yep, go on with the next one.
For those of you who haven't seen it explode on the internet, Ice-T has been roped into doing some voice acting. Unfortunately, they didn't tell him what he was going to be voice acting for a book. So here he does. He signs up, trusts his agent. His agent gets him a voice acting thing on, I think it's Audible, and they give him the script. So, wow, poor Ice-T. The man's not stupid, has genius level IQ, and can't pronounce the words. Why? Well, let me give you a quote. I sound like motherfucking Yoda trying to say this shit.
Good God.
So apparently his agent had gotten him a voice acting gig for a D&D manuscript. Yes, a Dungeons & Dragons manuscript. So for those of you We want to hear Ice-T do some voice acting for Dungeons & Dragons. The book hasn't been released yet, the title that I can find anywhere, but apparently it's going to be an Audible book. And honestly, I think I might just buy it just for the you know, comical nature of it. But after his rant on his blog, he has a voice blog. Apparently, after his rant on his voice blog, he was misunderstood about hating D&D. And we all know Ice-T's not a hater. So he released three statements to try to clear his palate of the D&D people. First one states, and I quote, "I want to give a special shout out to all the D&D Dungeons and Dragons people. Y'all have been phenomenal." Followed quickly by, "I have nothing against Dungeons and Dragons, geeks, or nerds. I told you, I just hate dumb fucks." And as if that wasn't enough, he had to follow up with, "What wouldn't Ice-T like about a dungeon? Or a motherfucking dragon? That shit sounds dope to me."
God dang.
So there you go. Ice-T on the sides of the sword-swinging D&D crowd. Thank you, Ice-T. We appreciate it. Please, you know, just do your thing, man.
God dang, that's funny. Normally, you know, on the Pulse, we've been told by the owner, you know, abide by the FCCs and the five swear words you're not allowed to use. But hey, this is a quote. This is a direct quote. We can't paraphrase that stuff. But that's going to be funny. I mean, I don't know who in the world thought it'd be a good idea to get Ice-T to do this stuff.
Oh my God, Ice-T.
I mean, I don't understand that crap at all. And you know, I laugh about some of this stuff. You know, from when we were kids and teenagers growing up, all these gangsta rappers.
That's right.
Yeah,
NWA.
Yeah, you know.
That's NWA where it came from.
And, yeah, oh, I know. All these gangsta rappers are now doing, you know, crap.
Law and Order.
Law and Order.
Can you edit in some Law and Order at the beginning of this segment? That would be so awesome.
Oh, my God.
<Da-na-na-na-na>.
Or, you know, Ice Cube is doing all of his weird babysitter hanging with the kids movies, and Snoop's doing the same thing, and they've all moved on to, I'm not going to call them family friendly, but more mainstream media type things. But
yeah,
God,
those three guys would
D&D?
Make great D&D, come on man, those three guys would make great Ninja Turtles.
Like I said, I don't know who decided this was a good idea, but someone needs to
smack their agents,
I guess, or someone needs to go back to the, I don't even know, whatever. They just need to wake up. That's just about going to wrap up our show tonight. One last thing before we go. I told my friend Danielle that I would do this. She is a real life friend of mine that lives here in Houston. She's a voracious PC gamer. She just recently bought an Xbox 360. She's always been a PlayStation player, but with the one coming out, the price has dropped, and so she picked one up. But the reason I'm talking about her is because, including myself, she has, I believe, three friends on Steam. So I told her, I said, I'm gonna advertise for you because you have to have more friends than that. So, I mean, she's a great person. She's a avid, voracious gamer. Her Steam name is SunnyDee852. That's SunnyDee852. We actually met her through WoW, through some real life stuff here in Houston, and we're just really good friends. Get together fairly often. She's a nice person. I like her a lot. Now, I know that sounds kind of weird. Like, Gray, what are you doing? You know, that's just something we'll do for all of our listeners. If you are looking for friends for your various social medias, like a Raptor or Steam or Xbox Live, shoot us an email. We'll advertise for you. That's no problem. Just let us know. Send us your name, your email address, or your account name to help people can get in touch with you, and we will advertise for you on the air. Anyways, we're going to wrap it up. Thanks for listening, everyone. Well,
can I toss something in there real fast?
You can, absolutely.
As an addendum, for those of you who are wondering, a few minutes ago, Gray asked me a question, and I couldn't answer it, so I went online and found it. EVGA and a few of the others are making a standard GeForce GTX 750 without the overclock.
Mm-hmm.
for $100. Oh. It's $119. It does follow the Kepler. I don't know if it follows the Maxwell, but next time I'll find out for you. But if you'll take a quick look, it looks like it does, and it's 119 versus the 159. So you'd basically be saving about $40. Now, I don't know the performance difference, but it looks like there's 1 gigabyte difference on the video. So just to throw that out there, take a quick look. For those of you who don't like the overclocking, it's out there, and it stays cooler.
And you said a 1 meg difference, so it's only a 1 meg card instead of a 2.
It's a 1 gig instead of a 2 gig.
I'm sorry, gig.
But it does follow the GTX 750. It does have the G-Sync. It's GDDR5, 128-bit, just like the other. It's DVI, HDMI, DVI graphics. Everything's the same, just not TI overclocked.
Okay. Good deal.
All right.
Awesome. All right, guys, thanks for listening. We will wrap it up here. If you want to get in touch with us, Blacklace will have some info on our closeout. You can find me on Steam and Raptor and the PlayStation Network under Teletech 77062.
You can find me under Steam and Raptor under Jason, J-A-Y-S-Y-N-N, and you can find me on Sony Online under J-U-N-G-J-E-D-I.
That's cool. I'm going to have to re-download that. I don't remember what I am on EQ. I'm probably the same thing. I'll have it for next show.
All right.
Alrighty. Cool. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Y'all take care.
Thanks for tuning in to tonight's broadcast of the Pulse Gamecast, a production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check holosuitemedia.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at The Pulse Gamecast. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to thepulsegamecast@gmail.com.